You found us. Welcome to the Holminster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
Great. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Dan, and I'm the community minister here at the church and part of the leadership team with Anne. And it's great to be starting this new series, exploring our vision statement, as Anne said. And tonight we're looking at the theme of worship, which, yeah, the disclaimer is worship is everything that we do, you know, and that's my prayer, is that hopefully in what we share tonight, And in how we gather together as a community, we recognise that God is ever present with us, both here in the Minster, in this beautiful place of worship, but worship is something we do with our lives when we go out from this place. And the reading, as Anne said, is a great reading that we're going to come on to. And just to give a bit of context to the passage, it would have been fascinating to have walked alongside Jesus. He did a lot of travelling a couple of thousand years ago, and he was sat in this reading beside a well. He was sat resting, and his disciples went off and began to look for food, and Jesus requested a drink from a woman at a well, a very ordinary thing to have done. But she was quite surprised, because Jews and Samaritans, they did not get along. They just didn't mix. And Jesus was speaking to her as a woman, as a Samaritan, and Jesus says, If she only knew his identity, she would be asking him for a drink. He would give her living water. But she doesn't know his identity, so she questions him about this living water and replies, just as anyone else might do, about drinking water. But eventually, she thirsts again. Thirsts for a different sort of water, for living water. And she asks him of this living water and tells her to go and he tells her to go and fetch her husband. And when she tells him that she has no husbands, well, Jesus replies that he knows this, that she hasn't got any husbands, but that she's had five husbands and that she's currently living with someone. And then suddenly, given so much that Jesus seemed to know about her, the woman sort of acknowledges, proclaims that she must be, that he must be a prophet. And this is where we're going to pick up tonight's reading. So you want to put the reading on the slide, Katie? I'm going to read in John chapter 4, verses 19 through to 26. So she says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." I love that. I would have loved to have seen her face when she heard those words that Jesus declared. So over the next 8 weeks, we're actually going to spend the next 8 weeks looking at these four vision words. And we're going to be journeying together, exploring the vision of the church, of Holminster, of our evolving vision, one that we're trying to live out and share together. And not just words that we print on banners or on flyers or you might see going around on the screen before the service. Not just words that we write on the website, but dynamic words, life-changing, life-bringing words, engaging words It's about people dwelling here in the Minster as a building, but so much more than that. It's about living out the vision throughout our lives and the impact in the city, the connections we're making as people, and positively impacting our surroundings, sharing the love of God with those around us. Our vision is Hull Minster is your place to worship, and flowing from that is a place to explore, to belong, and to enjoy. And importantly, everything flows from worship. So what exactly do we mean by worship? Well, all of you have heard the word before. Many of you will be very familiar with the word worship. We'll all have an idea in our heads. Perhaps some of you jump to musical worship, songs or our voices, or collective worship, this idea of being a church together. There's something about drawing together in worship as a sort of church family, I guess. Or perhaps you think of your prayer life or reading the Bible as your worship offering. Well, worship is all of that, but it's also all-encompassing, something that we do with our whole lives. So I had a quick look. The dictionary definition of worship is a reverent love, an ardent devotion, an expression of love. I think that's a good start. I think it's a really, really good starting point. But it's maybe a little bit clinical, a little bit generic, because true worship is actually something that's deeper than that. Something that captures our kind of passionate surrender when we choose to worship God with everything we have. I guess the challenge with the word worship is this kind of preconceptions that we often come with, and even hearing kind of definition and kind of thinking through shape, challenging that in your heads, we're kind of drawn back to what we've always known. And I've been challenged, particularly during the past 5 years journeying here at the Minster, about what does worship look like? There are so many different expressions of worship that we see in the church family and in our daily lives. Well, scripture captures the real essence, and this is the only word of Greek, just a sort of nod to Eve, that she would always bring a word of Greek, couldn't she, in a good sermon. This is what the word truly means in the original Greek. Proskynoua. Proskynoua? Yeah, I'm looking to a reverend. No. The pronunciation might not be perfect, but the definition is to kiss the hand to. Kiss the hand to. I'll try and paint a picture of what that is, and what the word is trying to convey. We're kind of all familiar with it if we look in, I don't know, any movie that you ever watch. You've no doubt seen a movie where there's kind of a man stood outside a window in the pouring rain or something, and looking through at his girlfriend and kind of singing a serenade or something. I don't know what it is. The whole world is watching on as the water pours down, and he doesn't give the slightest care, does he, for all that others are thinking or seeing or witnessing. He only knows that all the affection bubbling up in his heart, it can't be contained anymore. It's unashamedly. He's kind of looking to express that feeling, and suddenly begins sort of kissing his hand and blowing the kiss. And that is the original translation in Greek, throwing one's love. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks in that moment in the movie, because the one he loves is well worth the kind of display, the outpouring of emotion. Well, that's how the original Greek interpreted it. An expression of love, but from a place of deep, deep commitment, of reverence, of selflessness, passion that comes when we worship in the way described to the woman in a very ordinary story at a very ordinary well in Samaria. It's important as we unpack this vision of the church, of our church, everything flowing from worship, that we remember as Christians, that everything we do as a church, as a community of faith, but also out there as servant-hearted people, everything flows from worship. So that's our vision, Holminster, your place to worship, to explore, to belong, and to enjoy. There's some words there somewhere in a little fancy circle there. So why? Why is it so important that we grapple and understand worship? Well, we were made to worship as people. We were made to worship. We are a worshipping people as humanity, whether you like it or not. Just look at our world. The world worships continually because we were created to do so. We worship what we believe to be worth. Sports, prestige maybe, power, material possessions, relationships, image. The list goes on and on of what the world is worshipping. And all of these things, they grab us. They get our passion, our reverent love and our life. And I guess the first question I'd just sort of leave you with tonight is, what are you worshipping? What are you giving worth to? Are we seeking to give worth to God in our actions, in our attitude, in our social life, in our choices, in our responses to people, in our manner, in our words? And in verse 21 of the reading, Jesus responds to the woman with truth. Jesus is not afraid to offend her. Yet he has this wonderful kind of gentle way. He points her beyond the conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans and makes it very, very clear that the issue in worshipping God is not about location, it's not about geographical location, but the spirit and the attitude of the worshipper. Well, this afternoon was an interesting afternoon. I was at the Hull University Freshers Fair. And what a location to be worshipping God. It started this morning. And we're there amongst the RSPCA and Domino's and a lot of local bars and cafes and a lot of alcohol and shots being given out and people behind the stalls having shots with people at 11 a.m. And it's a bit of an eye-opener into what student life is like and a reminder, I guess, of for those of us who have been there or in the midst of that. But what does it look like for the 5, 6, 7 of us who were there, some of us who are here tonight and others from different services? What's it like for us to worship God with everything in that situation? I'll just leave that with you. In our conversations, what about our attitude and the way in which we were engaging with people? Well, one of the amazing things that we're reminded in this passage and throughout the Gospels is the way that Jesus handles tricky conversations and situations. Perhaps not a million miles away from the kind of complexity of our world and the locations and the places like the fair that we find ourselves in. In the reading, he's very clear that the Samaritans were wrong. He says they worship that which they do not know. And Jesus didn't just stop there. He goes on to declare the more important truth. He says, he kind of focuses in on the fact that it's very easy to sort of get wrapped up in the world, in winning the point. But we as Christians need to not kind of win the point and alienate the person that we're trying to talk to. But Jesus kind of challenges us to speak in godly ways, in a godlike nature, speaking in love. Always pointing people to the greater, more important truths that God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The true nature of the worship of God in spirit and in truth reflects God's very own nature. God is completely spiritual. Spiritual is a bit of a buzzword, isn't it, in society? And I think sometimes in a bit of an unhealthy way, but we as a church have to grapple with that. And we kind of, lots of people say they're spiritual, but they're not religious. And I think that's a great conversation starter. But God is completely spiritual. He is spirit. Jesus was in conversation with people who kind of were making idols and temples. But he was revealing the truth that God is spirit. That he's not just an idol or a God in one location. such as Samaria or the Samaritan. You know, it was kind of trying to say it's so much more than what you have believed. It's so much more than what's gone on centuries earlier. God created a world. He created all that's in it, and he transcends it. So Jesus' gentle but quite profound truths are still relevant for each of us tonight. How easy is it, though, for us to fall into a trap that this building, which, again, is final story from the Freshers' Fair. I spoke to one student. She said, I'm a returning student. I said, have you been to Holminster? Yep, I've been there. I've done that. I thought it was really interesting. It was almost kind of like she ticked it off. She said, oh, it's an amazing place. I had a really nice conversation. But for her, it was a tourist attraction. It was a nice place to visit. And that was it. She'd done Holminster. And I kind of thought, oh, you've missed the point. You know, yes, absolutely, come in and experience this place. Explore this place. But explore Jesus. And hopefully we as the body of Christ are encouraging people, pointing people to explore more than just this building. But that is the trap, isn't it? Sometimes Holminster is a place, it's a building. But it's actually the people. It's us. We are Holminster. We're the people, the living church, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, whatever tomorrow holds, whatever you're going back to tomorrow, you're representing Holminster, but ultimately you're representing God's church. And the Holy Spirit dwells within you, empowering you forward. And the true worship of God does not occur in the kind of religious rituals, which, again, is something we read about in Scripture. But if we're not careful, church can feel a bit religious. We can fall into that trap of doing things the same way. But true worship comes from within our spirit, out of a desire to honour and glorify God. And that excites me. I don't know about you, that's such an exciting truth. The outward actions of worship arise from an inward reality. The outward actions we offer as worship, they go hand in hand with us reflecting an inward devotion of God. Worship is just something we choose to do. If it was GDPR, we opt in. It's our spirit's response, our heart's overflow of love, of joy, of hope, of dependence, of trust and of thanksgiving towards God that's expressed outwardly. It's not just singing. It is singing, but it's not just singing. It's not just gathering here tonight. It's so much more than that. So the only way, as we heard in the passage, to actually worship God is in spirit, but also in truth. And that will come out in everything that we do. Perhaps the challenge to us tonight is to make space, to make time and space in our busy, chaotic lives. And I say busy and chaotic, actually I've found the more time I spend with Jesus, the less chaotic life seems. Making space for him, making that a daily priority, impacts your life so much. It shifts your perspective of chaos. It shifts your perspective of can't do or hopelessness. Instead of jumping to conclusions, I found the more we spend time with him in his presence, the more we're anchored to the freedom and hope that he brings to us. Especially when life feels pretty down and dark and hopeless. Perhaps it is a reminder to us to be praying for one another, but also when we're in conversation with people and when you hear their stories of hopelessness and of negativity, perhaps it's a moment for you just to pray. I sometimes think, I haven't got the words, I can't put your life right, but I can pray, and I sometimes just pray in the moment, and sometimes that's, you know, God guides, well, he certainly guides the conversation, but sometimes it leads to a point of just a simple prayer with someone. But all the time, how can I be responding to what God is doing in the darkness of people's negative lives? Because that's what we hear a lot of. How can we take this message of hope and truth to the world which perhaps hasn't heard hope or truth for a long time? And if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know where to start, then there's lots of things that we do midweek as a minster to encourage us to grow together. And there's lots of things that we would love to do, to speak to Anne or I and just to explore how can we encourage you to grow in that. We haven't got all the answers, but we've certainly learnt that stepping out in faith and prayerful faith is a great starting point. How we express our worship to God won't be the same for each of us. Some of you are incredibly gifted in art or in poetry or music, and you can bring a worship offering in that. Others, it might be dance or craft or activity. Through the love that we share and the choices that we make, God wants to use those gifts and grow those gifts. And we can worship in those things, in the fairly everyday, ordinary things. We read in Psalm 119, verse 160, "The sum of your word is truth." What we offer to God in worship is in response to God's truth and in agreement with the word of God. True worship is the outpouring of the Spirit towards God in response to the truth of God. As we sung earlier, there's just nothing more worthy, there's nothing more worthwhile than worship. And yet keeping to that and focused on him is really, really tricky at times. It's a great challenge, particularly when the world offers so many different things to worship. As I was chatting to Becky this week about the passage, we were reflecting that sometimes it's about praising God in the midst of tough times, of illness, of suffering, of struggle, of financial burdens, battles, whatever you might be going through, and showing our faithfulness to God as we give worship to him draws us closer to God, even in the midst of those struggles. I think that's just a bit of a reminder that life isn't always positive. Life isn't always full of light. But we can worship him in the midst of that. But, and it is a bit of a but, this passage ends with a wonderful hope. Jesus provides such an encouraging hope in verses 25 and 26. His conversation with the woman ends with this hope. Because actually, as you read it, you realise that the woman had no idea when the Messiah would come. But she does say that she yearns for that day when he will come. For in it, there is hope. She says that he will explain everything to us. And that's the ironic moment, the great surprise and revelation when Jesus declares himself to be that very person. He is the Messiah. She did have hope that he was going to come, that he was going to explain everything to us. And we have that wonderful truth that we can believe that he is here, that he has come, that he has died on that cross for us. And perhaps some people could ask, why did he disclose himself to the Samaritan woman? Jesus didn't disclose himself to many people. Many others were not aware of who he was. And there's, as you read around this, theologians have speculated different reasons why. But the main point is, and I really believe this, regardless of what conclusion you come to, it's ultimately there is the same conclusion in that God is gracious. God is gracious to the woman, and he's gracious to us. And we must keep that in mind whenever we talk to someone. God is gracious. He's extended an offer to all of us that whosoever will, believing Jesus Christ, may be saved. You know, we don't understand the fullness of the Spirit's work in a human heart. But all we are invited to understand is that God is gracious and he wants us to share that good news with other people. You know, it was a divine appointment that day when he sat down by that well and he asked for some water. and the unexpected surprise of that encounter. He was kind, he was gracious, he was humble to someone who most people maybe pushed aside. She's had five husbands, treated with contempt. He opened up a conversation with her, and he turned it into spiritual matters that she didn't even understand. He created with her in her a spiritual thirst, that living thirst that we hear about, pointing her to her need for God. You know, he was truthful. He was arguably quite blunt with her, but he did it in such a loving way. He didn't condemn her. He treated her with grace and respect and revealed to her the hope that she was always, always longing for. This is the God that we're invited to worship in spirit and in truth. So I invite you to follow his example tonight as we go from here, to reach out to others, to take those opportunities, to respond to others who may have been hurt by things that they've worshipped, perhaps things they've put their worth in that have hurt them, maybe lifestyle choices that others have made or you've made, or even others who have been hurt by the church as an institution. They're the ones who God still loves and is inviting us to speak truth into, to offer hope that perhaps others don't know. So wherever you are this week, I pray that we will reflect upon who God is, all that God has done for us, and perhaps that we can lose ourselves, that we can be so passionate again in that affectionate way of throwing kisses, as we first heard about, to the one and only God, our Father, the one who's undeniably worth our worship. Let's pray together. Father God, a simple prayer as we ask for you to help us to respond to you, to worship you with our whole lives in spirit and in truth, to live out your vision. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower us, we pray.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website, www.holminster.org.